morning for the blood that was shed for each one here in the room, for the grace that only you could give. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, for your compassionate love for your creation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you minister in our midst, to our thinking, to our spirits. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in our midst today, draw us to you. In whatever way you choose, we want to be obedient to whatever it is you say to us, corporately, personally. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Thank you, choir. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. We just sang those words. You held me in your sight. What I love about God is that he is a great God, the only one worthy of our worship, and yet he is a personal God. He sees you this morning. He sees those that are watching online. He knows you, every one of you. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are especially glad you're here. But he sees you. He knows what's going on in your life. And so you made a way, it says, across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build heaven's throne, to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul for the first time. I had hope. That's our prayer, that you would know this Easter hope, this resurrection hope. It is a life changer. It has changed my life long ago. I don't know, I'm heading on close to 30 Easter messages now. I'm not a young pastor, but the resurrection never gets old. And it really is not just about Easter Sunday, but about every day of our lives, to live in this Easter hope of a risen Savior. I want to welcome you this morning. Again, if you are here as a guest, I don't know where you are in your journey, but I do know that God will minister. And as we think about life and all that goes on, sometimes in all the different, I look at the room full of folks and all of our different circumstances. I know some of you are suffering this morning. Some of you are going through great pain or heartache, or some of you are going through grief. And I can tell you my experience of a pastor all of these years, oftentimes God does not change our circumstances. We can certainly ask him to change those circumstances. But oftentimes he doesn't change our circumstances. What he does is he changes us. And so as we continue in our worship this morning, I want to share a story with you. We met a young couple, Zach and Brooklyn Heiser. And Brooklyn and Zach came to our church, just joined us as members this past year. And as I got just to get to know Zach a little bit, this young man has a story, again, of transformation through pain and grief. Really a difficult struggle for such a young man. And so I wanted to capture this story for you because Zach, honestly, he's just an ordinary guy, like so many of you, and how God has met him in a personal way in the circumstances and the grief and the struggles of his life, because God sees you right where you're at. Watch Zach's story.
I believe it was the fall 2019. I got a phone call from my dad, and he told me that he had cancer. And I didn't even know what to say. Like, I thought this part of my life was over. Like, this is where I started to become a little bit more upset with God. I remember he was still talking on the phone, and I just remember looking up in the sky, and I just was shaking my head like, not again. I was like, if you really think this is like gonna draw me back closer to you, I was like, you got another thing coming. Because it was so bad, they organized like a basically just a huge group prayer, everyone to come over to his house. I knew enough to like not show it, to act like I was present, to act like I believed that this prayer party was gonna work, you know, saying play the part basically. But I didn't want to be there. I wanted nothing to do with it. It was not long after the prayer party. He only went through 3 treatments and the prayers were answered. Like, they had a picture of his first diagnosis, and I don't know what the picture was, but it was basically of his abdomen, and it was nothing but black from top to bottom. And they had a new picture, and there was just 2 like tiny little black specks, and it was basically gone, to the point where he didn't even have to finish out his treatment. And if you think that's enough of a sign for me to just come right back, you're wrong, because it's so clear looking back that it was simply the power of prayer. It's sad to think about, but it's the reality. And so I spent basically the last year and a half, 2 years, however long it's been, just being angry and bitter. So I basically just kind of drifted through life for the next couple years. Brooklyn would, you know, she would hint to the idea of being more involved in church and finding a church home. You know, we're now married, so it was not that I could just go fishing every Sunday. It was gonna be, we need to figure out what our core values are gonna be, and she really wanted to find a home church. And again, I wasn't against it, but I certainly wasn't gonna take the reins on it. I wasn't gonna, you know, pick a church to go try or anything like that. I was just like, if it's what you wanna do, I'm certainly not saying no to that. But I knew deep down that we needed to, but it was definitely gonna be a long road for me to get there. So then Brooklyn on the way home was like, yeah, I wanna do the Rooted Bible study. And she's like, you don't have to. But I knew that if she said she was doing it, that meant I was gonna be doing it. And I was gonna be a participant, but again, not thinking it would have any impact. I could feel a change coming for sure. I could feel the more that I was diving into the Bible every day and doing the studies, the daily studies, I knew I could feel like it was just kind of reminding me of all the things my mom used to say. And you know, it just reminded me of the reasons why and the purpose, and it kind of brought back a purpose in my life that was definitely missing. It's almost overwhelming just knowing that our God would show somebody like me that kind of mercy. And it's hard to know that sometimes I still fall back into my own ways, because He has brought me out of it, and He has, you know, shown me the compassion and just the endless pursuit of me to bring me back into His arms. It's also just amazing knowing that no matter what I do, He's unchanging, and that He's always gonna be, He's never gonna stop pursuing me.
Beautiful story, huh? What I loved about Zach's story is God didn't change his circumstances. And I didn't ever meet his mom, Brenda. And yet you could tell just in Zach talking about her, she had a vibrant faith and the hope of heaven. And yet Zach needed his own faith, right? He couldn't live the faith of his mom. He couldn't live the faith of his dad. And that's why I say God is a personal God. For even the young people in this room, you know, that God wants you to know him, not the faith of your mom or your dad. And so I love just again how God is working that out, meeting Zach in his bitterness and his anger, you know, restoring him and loving him. And yet he's honest, just like I am. We still make mistakes and struggle. And so maybe that's you this morning, again, your circumstances. Just want to encourage you through that story that God sees you. He may not change your circumstances, but he certainly wants to change you and how you're going to move through those circumstances this morning. Beautiful story. So I want to talk about the hope of heaven here. And as we think about the resurrection, I mean, the cross and the blood of Christ are the basis of our redemption for sure. But the resurrection kind of points back to the cross, and it guarantees that everything that Jesus did on the cross is true. But can you imagine those first witnesses, those early believers, the first followers of Jesus, sharing this incredible good news? It did not go easy. Because in the secular mind, back then and even today, this whole thing of the resurrection, the word they would probably use is the resurrection is absolutely absurd. Who can believe that a guy would come back from the dead? And I can certainly empathize with those maybe watching online or here in the room that maybe you don't believe in this Jesus or that he came back from the dead. I can empathize with you because it's not easy to kind of wrap your mind around this gospel story of what Christ has done. And so when they would begin to explain it, the crucifixion they would get, because in those days, the crucifixion was common. To see criminals hanging on a cross, they saw all the time. But then for someone then to say, and after he was crucified and he was dead and buried, he rose again from the dead. Well, then they go, oh, what are you talking about? And so for the early disciples, it was hard for them to share this. I'll give you a couple examples. Peter and John are sharing with the crowd. And so everything's going good until they get to the resurrection, says the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. What had them so disturbed? Because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John and they threw them in jail because of it. So everything is good until you get to this resurrection. That's just absurd. How can you believe that a guy came back from the dead? Well, let me appeal to your logic just for a little bit here as we think about this message this morning. Kids that are in the room, even adults, how long do you think you could hold your breath? We had a contest, the Easter morning contest, who could hold their breath the longest? How long do you think you could hold your breath? Anyone think they could hold their breath? 2 minutes. Couple minutes? 1 minute? How about 3 minutes? Anyone going for 3 minutes? The average person can hold their breath 2 to 3 minutes. So what if I told you that I know someone who can hold their breath twice as long, 6 minutes? Would you believe me? All right. What if I told you that I know someone that can hold their breath 3 times as long, 9 minutes? Would you believe me? How about 4 times? 4 times, 12 minutes. Someone can hold their breath 12 minutes. Would you believe me? How about if I just go crazy and I tell you that I know someone that can hold their breath for over 24 minutes? Would you believe me? That's pretty hard to believe. If you're believing that, that's really hard to believe. But I do know someone, the world record holder, Budimir Sobot. 24 minutes and 37 seconds. Can you imagine? He held his breath that. And the reason I can tell you this is because it's on public record. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records. I mean, it's public record now that he did this. And so now if I come to you next week and I say to you, hey, would you believe me if I told you that I know someone that can hold their breath for over 24 minutes? Would you say you would believe me? Yes, because it's recorded, it's public, it's for everyone to see. And so Paul, let's look at another example. Paul, who was very intellectual himself, really a smart, brilliant man as a follower of Jesus. Well, again, he's still trying to tell people about this resurrection. And every time he gets to the resurrection, it gets him in trouble. Let's look at this scenario. Here he's with the philosophers. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to debate with Paul. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? What is this idiot trying to say? I mean, this is so absurd. And what were they so upset about? Why were they calling Paul, this smart man, an idiot, a babbler? Why were they saying this about Paul, who was really brilliant? It seems that he was going on about preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they're tracking with Paul as he tells this story, and then he goes, but let me tell you about a guy who came back from the dead. And as soon as he got to that point, let me tell you about a guy that got back, they go, you're a babbler, you're an idiot. No one comes back from the dead. We don't believe it. All right, let's try another one. What if I told you that there is a creature that can live for a whole day without a heartbeat? And no blood flow for a whole day. Would you believe me? What if I told you this creature? I mean, I'm no heartbeat, no blood flow. This creature could live for 7 days. Would you believe me? That's pretty hard to believe. I mean, that anything could live. Let me introduce you to the Alaskan wood frog. I mean, this creature is amazing. No blood flow, no heartbeat for 7 months. Now, I'm assuming when you catch it in this day, you could just snap its leg off, right? It's probably pretty, but when it thaws out, it hops away. It's on public record. You see, you can see it. All right, one more. The Apostle Paul is on trial for his life. So this is more serious. But the Apostle Paul keeps talking about this resurrection, and it keeps getting him in trouble. In Acts 26, we'll look here at a few verses. Paul is before the Roman authority, Festus and Felix, King Agrippa's there. I mean, he really is on trial for his life. And they're asking about what he believes. He says, but God has helped me to this very day, so I stand here and testify to a small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Verse 24, at this, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul. You have read way too many books. Your great learning is driving you insane. What was upsetting Festus? As soon as Paul starts talking about Jesus coming back from the dead, this guy came back from the dead. Jesus died, was buried for 3 days, and he came back from the dead. And Festus, you're insane. It can't happen. It's impossible. Why or anyone would believe that? And then verse 26, and here is the key. I mean, this next verse, catch it, for Paul and then for us today. He says, I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. I mean, to the secular mind, it's totally untrue. And to the secular mind, it's totally unreasonable that a man would come back from the dead. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because why? Because it was not done in a corner. You see, King Agrippa would know the whole history. He at least knew the history. I mean, from Moses all the way through all the prophets, what were they always talking about? They were all pointing to Jesus. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. Even his resurrection, that the Messiah would come and that he would rise again one day. How can you miss it? The Apostle Paul is saying, it's so clear, it's so true, it's so reasonable. How can you miss this? It wasn't done in a corner. Do you believe a guy can hold his breath for over 24 minutes? Do you believe that there is a creature that can go 7 months with no heartbeat or no blood flow? Can you believe that a guy would come back from the grave? It's no longer public speculation. It's not like a Bigfoot sighting. I mean, we hear about Bigfoot, right? People will claim it's big, but it's not public, and it's speculation always. This was not done in a corner. The resurrection is not just about the resurrection itself. It's not just about the act of the resurrection. What you will need to see here in the next few minutes, Holy Spirit, move, 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 is that you need to see the person of the resurrection. The resurrection itself makes no sense if you're just going to look at the resurrection, but if you look at the person of Jesus Christ and you know who Jesus is, then you will understand and believe the resurrection. And even in those days, how they responded, some of them sneered at Jesus and they just threw their hands up. And they threw their hands up at Paul. But others responded and say, tell me more. And maybe that's you this morning. You're a seeker. I'm still not sure, but tell me more. Is this Jesus really who he is? Will he meet me today? All right, we're going to do a little exercise. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen just for a second. I'm going to flash it up and take it away. Tell me what you see. Ready? It's going to go fast. Whoops, now I'm all over the place. Did you see it? This one. I'm going to do it again. Flash back. All right. Did you see it? What'd you see? Okay. Okay. Everyone see a dog? Did anyone see a man? Anyone see a man? I saw a man. All right. So those that saw a dog, did you really see a dog or did you see a man? Because I saw a man. How many saw a man? A lot of people saw a man. Sorry, Tanya, you're out. She thinks she saw a dog. It's Bigfoot. It's clear it's Bigfoot. All right, everyone has said they saw a man. What'd you see? A dog. It's all about perspective, right? Does everyone see? Some of you are still struggling here. For those that are still struggling, I'm assuming it's a black poodle coming out of the woods. So Tanya was right. It's all about perspective. How you see Jesus matters. So some people see Jesus, well, he's just a nice guy. Maybe he was a good teacher, but he was far more than that. How you see Jesus, you need to get this right. You don't want to miss this and just have conversations about Jesus and really not know who he is. All right, last one. Anyone watch? I love basketball. So this was the most recent NBA slam dunk contest. Mac McClung, 6'1", and he won the slam dunk contest. I mean, it was amazing. This kid just rocked the place. You know, beat all these other guys. All right? So what if I told you I know of a man who can dunk the basketball standing flat foot? Remember, the hoop is 10 feet high. I mean, flat foot, he can just dunk the ball. Would you believe me? Well, of course you would believe me because I told you about the guy that's holding his breath for 24 hours and I told you about the frog that could live forever. Of course you're going to believe me. And there is. His name, Robert Wadlow. Tallest man recorded in history. He was just under 9 feet tall. So this is him at 13 years old. Here he is as a man. Almost 9 feet tall. So it was really easy for him to just reach up and dunk the basketball. All right. I know a man who died, was buried, and on the third day he came back from the grave. And he came back and he was seen by lots of people after he rose from the dead. It wasn't done in a corner. It was not done in a corner. It was for all kinds of people to see, and it was recorded. Do Do you believe me? I want to show you three things about Jesus, because you need to see Jesus. It's not about just the resurrection or the act of the resurrection. If you don't know the Jesus who's attached to the resurrection, then you're missing it, because it's all about knowing Jesus. Colossians 1:18. I'm going to give you three things that describe Jesus real quick. And it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is the beginning, meaning he wasn't at the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is everything in between. As we've learned in Genesis and in creation, that he was there. He is the creator. He created time. He was before time. Jesus is the creator. Verses 16 and 17, for him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him, Jesus, and for him, Jesus. He, Jesus, before all things, and in him, Jesus, all things hold together. Jesus is the creator for everything. He didn't do this in a corner. He did it for everyone to see. Let me give you one example of many, that Jesus, when there was 5,000 men, which means there were probably 5,000 women, and there were probably at least 5,000 children, so 15,000 people, he had 2 fish and 5 loaves, and what did he do? He fed all 15,000 people. And I'm just assuming that was not done in a corner, was it? It was for everyone to see. And if he can create and do that, then I'm assuming he can come back from the dead. Because that's who Jesus is. The second is, he is the firstborn from among the dead. I love that phrase. You know why I love that phrase? Because billions and billions and billions of people have died and are dead and decomposing in the ground. I'm sorry, I know it's Easter, but you got to think about death for a minute, because it's coming to all of us. And this phrase gives us so much hope. He's the firstborn among the dead, because all of us are going to die. All of us are going to end up in the ground or cremated in some way. And this is such a hopeful verse. He is the firstborn among the dead. He's the first that he would rise again. And if he can rise, then we will rise with him one day, the scripture says. So encouraging, so hopeful that he will get up. And Jesus didn't do this in a corner. He didn't. He rose other people from the dead. I picture the widow's son, a funeral procession. I mean, can you imagine an actual funeral procession? Jesus comes and he raises her son from the dead. Was that done in the corner? Everyone saw it and they were amazed. Jairus' daughter, she was dead. Jesus comes. He raises her from the dead. Everyone was amazed. It was not done in a corner. Everyone saw it and they were amazed and they celebrated. Lazarus, come out of the tomb, Lazarus. And everyone saw and many believed. Why? Because Jesus didn't do it in the corner. It was never in the corner. It was always for everyone to see. Here I am. I am the beginning. I am the first to rise up. And because I will rise up, you will rise up one day if you believe. Because it was never done in the corner. It was for everyone to see. This is not a Bigfoot speculation here. He's not making it up. Jesus said to Martha, Lazarus' sister, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me, not believing in the resurrection, not believing in the miracles that I do, but believing in me, I am the life. I am the authority. I am everything. The truth, I am who I am. I am the Savior of the world. Whoever believes in me, it's personal. And he like looks right at her. And do you believe this? I mean, what a great Easter. And he looks right at you. Do you believe this? Because it wasn't done in a corner. It's in public records. It's documented. And the last, why? Why is he the beginning? Why is he the firstborn? Why? So that in everything he might have the supremacy. He is supreme over creation. He was supreme over sickness and disease. He is supreme over death. He is supreme over everything. Jesus came back from the grave for 40 days, a month and a half. He walked this earth. He had breakfast with his disciples. It says that 500 men saw him. People saw him after his resurrection. Why? Because it was on public record that he had rose from the grave. It wasn't done in a corner. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, for I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. I am Jesus over everything. Is he Jesus over your life today? I'm going to go doomsday in finishing up. Doomsday. Let's just speculate a little bit. We may have a global economic collapse. The value of the dollar is shaky. Who knows when this might happen? Let me tell you about wars. We hear about the war with Russia and Ukraine. We hear rumors of war that maybe China and North Korea and the United States might come into conflict anytime soon. Oh, let's think about COVID. I mean, COVID-19, that was one thing, but what could be next? Like the media stirring the pot. There are so many uncertainties in front of us this morning. We have no idea how our lives are going to change in a moment. What happens in our nation? What happens in our world? Are you afraid? Because Jesus, no matter what goes, he stands right there. And Jesus, in the midst of whatever happens, he says, I am in charge. I am supreme. No matter what goes on in this world, no matter what is coming your way, I am supreme. I am the authority of all of it, because it was not done in a corner. I lived my life for everyone to see. I died my death for everyone to know. And I rose again for everyone to see this. It was not done in a corner. Does that matter? You better believe it matters. It changes everything. Because to be without Jesus, I only know fear. I only know speculation and uncertainty. I can't imagine going through this world without a faith founded on the scriptures, the truth of God, of how to navigate this confusing, broken, sinful world. And Jesus just reminds us, I'm right here. I'm right in the midst. And so let me close with these two verses. Jesus is talking to his friend John. This is the last book in the Bible, Revelation. And so John is, maybe some say, Jesus' best friend. And he comes to John, and when John saw him, he falls at his feet as though dead. He's like paralyzed in this moment when he sees Jesus. This is after Jesus rose. It says, then he placed his hand, Jesus placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Can you imagine? And that's my prayer. That's what I'm going to pray even in these moments. That Jesus' resurrected hand would touch your shoulder. Because he's a personal God. From the youngest to the older, to the one that may be doubting even in this moment. To the seeker here in the room, that Jesus would put his resurrected hand on you through the Holy Spirit and say, I see you, I'm right here. I know your circumstances. I know your grief, your brokenness. I know your doubts. I know your pain. I know your confusion. And I am right here. My resurrected, my pierced hand is on your shoulder, and I see you and I love you. And I want to meet you. And I want to bring hope and salvation to that fear you have this morning. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, it wasn't done in the corner. Look, pay attention. What keeps you from seeing the obvious? What keeps you from seeing the obvious? Look, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Do you see Jesus this morning? Do you know Jesus this morning? That's our prayer as you come. All right. Robert Wadlow. Do you want to know the rest of the story of Robert, the 9-foot guy that I told you about? Let me just quickly tell you the end of the story. What do you think happened to this guy? I mean, kids, I mean, junior high, you're 7 foot. How do you think that's going for Robert, right? I don't think it's easy getting into cars. And do you think people looked at Robert? I mean, how would you maybe describe Robert? A freak is what he was. And literally, you know where Robert ended up? Some of you are guessing. Where do you think he ended up? In the circus, in a freak show. And people came and they saw the tallest man in the world. They had an interview with Robert. And they asked Robert, what was the hardest thing with being so tall? You know what he said? He said, people, especially kids, kicking his shin. Because he was a freak, they thought he was on stilts. And the only way to know, it wasn't like they were being mean or anything, he said, they didn't really believe, and so they would kick him in the shin to see if he was standing on stilts. And he said, I'd pull up my pant leg and show him I am real. For some of you this morning, you're kicking Jesus. You're kicking Jesus, right? Because you just don't really believe that this guy could come back from the dead. Because if he really did come back from the dead, then he's everything he has ever said. And you don't want to submit and bow down as though Jesus on stilts. But he's real. And Jesus pulls up his pant leg. He says, I'm real. I didn't do it in the corner. It's right here for you to see. Will you believe me already? Stop kicking me and come to faith. I'm going to invite the choir and the team to come up. And as they do, I want to pray that God would minister to you as we close our Easter time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for Jesus, that this life that he lived was perfect. We thank you that what he did was not done in the corner. Thank you, Father, for the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And so in this moment, my brothers and sisters, I'm just going to give you pause. How do you want to respond? Do you sense the Holy Spirit, the resurrected hand of Jesus touching you now? He's a personal God. Young person, he sees you. I'm telling you, he just puts his hands on your shoulder and says, do not be afraid. To the seeker here in the room this morning, he puts his hand on your shoulder and says, I see you in your doubts. Come to me. How do you want to respond to the risen Savior? What is it that he is saying to you this morning? And if you're not sure how to respond, ask for eyes of faith. So simple. Salvation is so simple. Believe in Jesus. Trust him with your life. Be honest about your sin, what keeps you from him. And humbly ask that he would be the Lord, the Savior of your life, that you would die to yourself. Maybe that's not so easy, but that's what you need to do in this moment. No longer be the boss, the king of your life, but let the true King Jesus be the Lord, the Savior of your life. Leave your fears behind. Confess your sin. Let him bring salvation and healing to you in this moment. Let him touch you. Spirit, minister in our midst. Change lives. Change thinking. So, Father, we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ alone, for the hope of heaven. We acknowledge that every one of us will one day leave this earth. We are humbled by that thought, not knowing how many days we have, but knowing that you are the giver and the taker. And so prepare us for everlasting life, the hope of heaven, where we would be free from all sin and guilt, where we will one day have resurrection bodies. Oh, how we long for that day, King Jesus. Come for your church. We thank you for how you minister in our midst and for what you do, for you are King and you are Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us stand on this Easter morning and let's celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus and all that he has done.
Hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. 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 The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Forever He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive.
Amen. He is risen. And brothers and sisters, it was not done in a corner. So obvious, so public, it's on record. And we live for a living Savior. Well, as we leave the room this morning, again, just have a great Easter morning. I want to, again, just extend to our guests at the Welcome Center as you leave. We'd love to meet you. We have a gift for you. We just want to pray for you. There's a couple ways we can pray for you. There's a QR code in the program, or you can fill out a card, drop it in the buckets as you leave. If you're here this morning, you want to know more about Jesus, we have a Next Step pack. I've decided to follow Jesus. Or if you even have questions, and those packets are on the back table as well. Some are up here. I'll be hanging out here as well. John will be here to pray, and Shell will be here to pray for anyone that wants to come. If you have any needs, family members, friends that you want prayed for, they'd be happy to do that. And as we think about our worship this morning, I just again extend an opportunity to you for give an offering, the buckets in the back, or you can give online. And then finally, can I just take a moment? We had a lot of folks volunteering and serving our staff this Holy Week and this morning, getting everything together. So can we just clap for all those who have served us so well? Thank you. Well done. A great Easter morning, a great Easter service. Thank you, choir. Well done. Way to lead us to Jesus. But most of all, thank you, Jesus, for love and salvation. Amen. God's blessing to you. Have a great Easter.